Alhamdulillah hamdan muwafiyan li ni'ami mukafiyan li mazidi wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa junudi amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim wa sayujannabuha al atqa alladhi yu'ti malahu yatazakka wa ma li ahadin 'indahu min ni'matin tujza إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أمن الناس علي في صحبته وماله أبو بكر ولو كنت متخذا خليلا من أمتي لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله إن شاء الله over the next five Jumu'ahs we will be discussing the life of the greatest person to walk the surface of this earth after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And that is none other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an. Obviously we can never do justice to the life of such a personality. Even though we may speak about him for so many weeks. Because this is that personality that was the backbone of Islam. From the beginning, in fact, even before the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an enjoyed a very close relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was also involved in the arrangements of the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So from the early days, he was a very close friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accepted Islam right at the beginning, was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at every given moment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. And then not only that, at the crucial time when the most challenging time came for the ummah, and that was the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was none other then Abu Bakr radiallahu an, who took hold of the reins of this ummah and steered the ummah to safety from the raging waters that the ummah was in at that time. So, we can never do justice to the life of such a personality. The only thing we can say regarding him, Allahumma ajzihi anna wa anil muslimin wal islami khayral jaza. Oh Allah, you reward him on our behalf, on behalf of Islam, and on behalf of the Muslims, the best of reward. So this is that personality, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an. What better way and words of introducing him than the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentioned regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu an during his very last khutbah, the last address that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. 5 days before his demise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum on that occasion, Inna amanna an-nasi alayya fi suhbatihi wa malihi Abu Bakrin. To set the record for the ummah right till Qiyamah, the last address that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving to his ummah, he says, Inna amanna an-nasi alayya fi suhbatihi wa malihi. That the person who was the most kind to me with regards to his relationship, with regards to his companionship, and with regards to his wealth, was Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Nabi Salaam goes on to explain the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا مِّنْ أُمَّتِي وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ غَيْرَ رَبِّي لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If it was possible for me to take a bosom friend from any human being, to take any human being as a bosom friend, then I would have taken Abu Bakr as my bosom friend, radiallahu an. However, ittakhadhani Allahu khalila, Allah has kept me as His very, very close and bosom friend. Hence, it is not befitting for me to take any other person as my friend. If there was any person who would have enjoyed that closest relationship to me, that relationship which I enjoy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would have been Abu Bakr radiallahu an, who would have enjoyed that relationship with me. So this is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions 5 days before his demise, before he's leaving this world, to show the ummah the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Just to mention a few virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, obviously the books of hadith are replete with virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and in some narrations Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma together. But just 3 ahadith. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, the narration appears in Sunan Abi Dawood, Ama innaka ya Aba Bakrin awwalu man yadkhulul jannata min ummati. O Abu Bakr radiallahu an, from my ummah, meaning after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, you will be the very first person to enter Jannah. In one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, it's a lengthy incident that had occurred. Abu Bakr radiallahu an posed a question. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, that you will be called from all the 8 doors of Jannat. Every door of Jannat will be calling your name. Oh Abu Bakr, please give me the honor of you entering Jannah through me. On one occasion, Abu Darda radiallahu an was walking, and coincidentally, he was walking in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Abu Bakr radiallahu an was at the back, he was walking in front. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Abu Darda radiallahu an, and he cautions him. He says, oh Abu Darda, la tamshi amama man huwa khayrun mink. Don't walk in front of that person. Don't walk in front of that person that is better than you. This is Abu Bakr. How can you even walk in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu an? Who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this to? He is saying this to another sahabi. Despite you being a sahabi, you still need to show respect to Abu Bakr radiallahu an. La tamshi amama man huwa khayrun mink. Don't walk in front of that person who is greater than you. Inna Aba Bakrin khayrun mimman tala'at alayhi shamsu aw gharabat. The sun has not risen and has not set over a personality greater than Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Obviously after the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, as has been explained in another version of this narration. So this is the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. The love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoyed with him, and the relationship that he enjoyed. We have already explained one narration. Another narration, Amr bin As radiallahu an says, on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made me an amir. He made me the leader of an army. Ghazwatu dhati salasil. And in that army was Umar radiallahu an and Abu Bakr radiallahu an. They were part of that army, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made me the leader. He made me the amir. So I felt perhaps I enjoy a very, very high position in the sight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he posed a question to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, ayyun nasi ahabbu ilayk. O Nabi of Allah, from all the people, who you love the most? Thinking that possibly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say that him. This was the speciality of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made every person feel important. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu felt so important that he thought Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will perhaps say that you're the most beloved. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spontaneously responds Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha, she's the most beloved. So he says, wa minar rijal, what about the men? Abuha, her father. So this was the close relationship. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Aisha radiallahu anha is the most beloved, and thereafter her father Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the most beloved. When it comes to his accepting of Islam, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nubuwat, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had already seen certain signs that indicated that his friend is going to be someone very special and someone chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are lengthy narrations. There's a dream that he had seen. He had met with a certain learned person during one of his travels, and there were indications that were given to him that there's a Nabi that's going to come and he's going to enjoy a very special position with that Nabi. Therefore, some ulama say that Abu Bakr radiallahu an actually brought iman in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even became a Nabi. Because he was already informed and he already knew that my friend is going to become a Nabi. Although that iman won't be termed per se as iman, But he already believed in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a Nabi. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received Nubuwwat, then immediately, without any hesitation whatsoever, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu accepted. Without any hesitation, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in fact mentioned that every other person that I invited, there was some type of hesitation. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, no hesitation whatsoever. Immediately he accepts. Therefore the ulama, this lengthy discussion, but the ulama say, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah has given this explanation, that from the free men, those that had accepted Islam because of their free will, without any other influence, from the free men, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the very, very first to accept Islam. And some scholars go to this extent, and they say, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, that person who starts off some good, then every person who follows him in that good will receive the reward of that good. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the very first free person to accept Islam, then every believer, right till Qiyamah, the reward of that person's iman will be in the account of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because he was the one who responded first. When he responded first, obviously Khadija radiallahu anha was the first, she was the wife, and Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu was a slave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali radiallahu anhu was in the care of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although there's discussion whether Ali radiallahu anhu really believed before Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, without fear of contention, we can say that from the free men, from those that accepted Islam without any other external influences, out of their free will, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first free man to accept Islam. And therefore, every person who will bring iman till Qiyamah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will receive a share of the reward of that person's iman. Thereafter we find, after bringing iman, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, another speciality of his iman was he never kept quiet about his iman. He had influence in the Quraysh. He was a person of influence. Great qualities he had. He had certain positions that he enjoyed in the Quraysh. Certain positions were given to him prior to Islam. So he used this influence of his. He used this influence of his to influence others. Those that would confide in him, those that would come to him for advice or whatever else it may be. He had great business acumen as well. So people would come to discuss business with him. So he used this influence that he had over others to invite them to Islam. And within a short space of time, approximately 38 people accepted Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Great, great sahaba. In fact, most of the Ashara Mubashara. The Ashara Mubashara are regarded as the greatest of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Those 10 sahaba who were given the glad tidings of Jannat from the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one gathering, in one go, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave 10 of them glad tidings of Jannat. From among them, most of them brought iman at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Talha radiallahu anhu, Zubayr radiallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. All accepted Islam because of the invitation of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So this was how he used his influence. A point for us to take note of. Many a times we have influence, but the influence is abused. The influence is used in the wrong way. Let us use this influence in the right. Today is a time of social media. There's a big hype of influences. But are those people who are influential, are they influencing towards the right or towards the wrong? Is it being used or abused? That's an important question. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used that influence that he had. Every person has influence. He has influence over his family. Use that influence that we have over our children for Allah's sake to bring them towards the right. Don't kill that imani spirit that those children have within them. Otherwise we will be the ones who will suffer the consequences of that later on. The influence, every parent has influence over the child. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, every person, every child is born with sound temperament to accept the truth, to go in the right direction. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ It is thereafter the parents that negatively influence that child, make that child a Jew, make that child a Christian, make that child a fire worshipper. On the day of Qiyamah, those same children will come and they will hold us by our collars and say, Ya Allah, my parent taught me the wrong thing. My parent did not explain the right to me. So let us use our influence. This is one way of the influence that we have, one type of influence that we have over our families, and other influence that we have. Just as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used that influence, and because of that influence that he had, he influenced so many people to accept Islam, and he receives the reward of all those great sahaba. Imagine the great khidmat and the great services that they had rendered for Islam, all in the account of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because of him using his influence in the right way and influencing them towards Islam. So this was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's acceptance of Islam. And this was the level of his conviction in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immediately, without hesitation. Another example of this was the incident of Mi'raj. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, the Quraysh of Makkah found this to be an ideal opportunity to negatively influence Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to put doubts in his mind regarding Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You heard what your friend is talking now. Now you heard what he's talking. You're supporting him all the time. Now you heard what he's talking. He says he went to the seven skies and came back. Immediate response of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. لَإِن كَانَ قَالَهُ لَقَدْ صَدَقْ. If those words have come out from his mouth, then definitely it is true. No hesitation whatsoever. لَإِن كَانَ قَالَهُ لَقَدْ صَدَقْ. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said it, then definitely it is true. May Allah bless us with a fraction of this belief, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said something, when Allah has said something, there are no questions asked, no objections. We don't apply our mind against the commands of Allah, against the laws of Allah, against the deen of Allah. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said it, if Allah has said it, لَقَدْ صَدَقْ, it is 100% true. He goes on to tell them that every day, while he is here on earth, he is telling me that Jibreel has come from the seven skies and has come with this message and this message and this message. I believe all of that. So what's there for me to believe that he went up and he saw all of this and he came down? فَهَذَا أَبْعَدُ مِمَّا تَعْجَبُونَ مِنْ. It's even more difficult to believe why he's standing here, he's telling me what's happening there. When he went there and came back, what's so difficult to believe? This was the level of iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. On this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Anta ya Aba Bakrin as-Siddiq. O Abu Bakr, you are truly a Siddiq. And it was on this occasion that he received this title of Siddiq from none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, in one narration it is mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my people are not going to believe me. He says, Abu Bakr will believe because he is a Siddiq. So this title of Siddiq was not given by people late on. It was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ali radiallahu anhu said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, on the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that day on, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known as a Siddiq. This was a little regarding his acceptance of Islam. Just as all the other early Muslims, all had to suffer. All had to suffer some type of difficulties, some type of physical abuse at the hands of the kuffar. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as well had to suffer. And this was a very remarkable incident as well. On one occasion, there were approximately 38 Muslims at that time. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are we hiding our Islam? Let us go into the haram and let us openly proclaim Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, O Abu Bakr, we so few in number. He insists until they finally go. And then sahaba go into the different corners of the haram, different areas of the haram, mixing with different people. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stands up. And he was the very first person to give a khutbah. A very first person to give a khutbah on Islam in the haram of Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was speaking. When the kuffar see this, they come and they pounce on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They assault him and assault him so severely. Hatta ma yu'rafa wajhuhu min anfihi. His entire face was swollen that his nose couldn't even be made out from his face. So badly he was abused, unconscious. His family come, They carry him home, unconscious. After some time, a long time, he regains consciousness. And what are the first words that come out from the lips of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? His family that are around him are non-Muslim. They are disbelievers. But the first thing that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asks, Ma fa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The very first question, when he regains consciousness, they begin to rebuke him. It's because of him that you're in this problem. You're in this predicament because of him. He says, Ma fa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they tell his mother, try and feed him. Obviously he was unconscious for some time, try and feed him. He says, I want to know how is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She again tells him, it's because of him. No, how is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then he tells his mother, go and find out from Ummu Jamil radiallahu anha, it was a sahabiya, go find out from her. Ummu Jamil radiallahu anha comes, and then again he asks, Ma fa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She says, Salimun salihun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is safe and sound. This was the love that he had. He didn't want to hear anything. He says, I will never feel at ease. Lillahi alayya. Allah azuqa ta'aman. Wala ashraba sharaban. Aw atiya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I take a qasam. I will not eat a single morsel of food. I won't take a single sip of water until I see the Mubarak countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, it was a major commotion. He just got assaulted. He was unconscious. He can't go out immediately. His mother and Ummu Jamil wait until everything settles down. And then they support him. He was unconscious a few moments ago. They support him. Take him to the house of Arqam radiallahu anh, where he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time also, look at his concern. He says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, here is my mother. Here is my mother. She is not a believer. You make dua to Allah on her behalf. And O Nabi of Allah, you invite her to Islam. In that condition, the concern for acceptance of Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites his mother, and his mother accepts Islam at that time. This was the way Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also had to undergo difficulties. On one occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes in the haram. And at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being assaulted verbally, physically abused by the kuffar of Makkah. Ali radiallahu anhu says, no one had the guts to go front. No one had the guts to go front. It was only Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who tore through that crowd. He hit them, he moved them, he pushed them. And then he cries and he says, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَيْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Will you kill a man? Because he says, my Rabb is Allah. Because of this, Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, أَشْجَعُ النَّاسِ. The most brave person. People used to call Ali radiallahu anhu brave. He says, I'm not brave. The most brave person was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When no one could stand up for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that stood up in support of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, when the Muslims had began migrating to Abyssinia, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also felt that because it is difficult to practice Islam in Makkah Mukarramah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I also rather move over to Abyssinia. So he leaves Makkah Mukarramah, and he's traveling towards Yemen. Finally, he will reach Ethiopia. So as traveling, he reaches a place called Barkul Ghimad. When he reaches here, he meets one of the leaders of one of the tribes, Ibn Daghina. And Ibn Daghina asks him that, oh Abu Bakr, where are you going? He says that the people have made things difficult for me. They made my life difficult. I can't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now I'm moving on so that I can worship my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely. Ibn Daghina, who was a leader of the disbelieving tribe, he was a disbeliever. He says, "Innaka ya Aba Bakr, inna mithlaka ya Aba Bakrin, inna mithlaka ya Aba Bakrin la yakhruju wa la yukhraj." O Abu Bakr, a man like you can never leave any place, and he can never be forced to leave from that place. A man like you can't leave a place, and he can't be forced to leave a place. A very, very important point for us. Great lesson for us in this country as well. And then he gives the reason why you can't leave a place and why you can't be expelled and removed from a city. He says, إِنَّكَ تَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ وَتَسِلُ الرَّحِيمِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. You have such great qualities. If a person cannot afford something, then you support that person. Tasilur Rahim, you join family ties. taqrid daif. You are hospitable, you entertain guests that come. Normally, it's very commonly mentioned during the December season that the whole country comes to Durban. How many of us can open our homes after Jummah Salah or whenever it may be, come home? We'll tell them all the Sanha approved restaurants in Durban. That's what we'll tell them. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. You are hospitable to people. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. You carry the burdens of others. وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. If there is any justifiable cause, any good cause, then you are in the forefront in assisting in that. Now these great qualities that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had, even a disbeliever understood that these are such qualities, such prized qualities in a person, that if a person has these qualities, this man must never leave a town. Why? This person is an asset for that town. He's an asset for not only for himself. He's not only self-enrichment, not only there for himself, but he sees for others as well. And respected friends, if we bring these qualities in our lives, starting off with our own staff, with our domestic workers, we will see how the perception of people will change towards us. Unfortunately, today there's a very negative perception that they're only here to mint it, they're only here to squeeze, to make money, they're only here for their own enrichment. Let us become good for others, assist others, whether it's Muslim or non-Muslim, and see how the perception will change. This Ibn Daghina, he's a kafir. He says, oh Abu Bakr, you can't go. You go back to Makkah, I give you protection, and you will not leave Makkah. The incident is very lengthy. How late on, Abu Bakr radiallahu an finally told him, you can keep your protection. I am happy with the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nevertheless, the point is, these qualities that he had were such qualities that even a kafir appreciated. And he says that because of these qualities that you have, you cannot leave the town. You will have to remain in this town. So these are the qualities that we need to have. Another very important point is these qualities that Ibn Daghina enumerated of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. These were the exactly same qualities that Khadija radiallahu anha enumerated when she comforted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his first encounter with Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. We have heard the incident, very famous incident. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was terrified. In comforting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Khadija radiallahu anha mentioned the exactly same qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Ibn Daghina did not hear what Khadija had mentioned radiallahu anha. On his own, he listed the same qualities of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. This shows us the close similarity between the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the qualities of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Two separate incidents, different people enumerating the exactly same qualities for two different people. It shows the similarity that they two had. And this was because of the barakah and the blessings of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's association with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That company definitely rubs off. Good company will definitely rub off. And at the same time, bad company also will influence us negatively. Because of his association with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such were the qualities, that the exactly same qualities that Khadija radiallahu anha mentions regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the same qualities that Ibn Daghina mentioned regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. One last point before we terminate, and that was the financial assistance that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had given to Islam. Such financial assistance, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالُ أَحَدٍ مَا نَفَعَنِي مَالُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. No person's wealth has benefited me like the wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that, we'll feel very honored. What was the response of Abu Bakr radiallahu an? Abu Bakr radiallahu an began to cry. He says, هَلْ أَنَا وَمَالِي إِلَّا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, this is not my wealth, it's not myself. Me, myself and my wealth, we all belong to you. Everything is yours, you can do what you want. This was the way he had spent, freeing slaves. The famous one is Bilal radiallahu an. But apart from that, six other slaves Abu Bakr radiallahu an had freed. And when he used to free those slaves, he would look for the weak slaves and he would free those slaves. His father Abu Quhafa, who later on became a Sahabi radiallahu anh, he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, he says to his son, "Oh my son, in our terms, use your brains. If you want to free someone, then free someone that's strong. Because in your hour of need, that person will assist you. He will remember the favor and he will repay that favor." Abu Bakr radiallahu anh says, "Oh my father, innama uridu wajhallah. I'm not doing it for all of this. I'm only doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." On this occasion, the ayat of Quran were revealed. سَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّي الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. Where Allah gives Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu a very, very great title. Al-Atqa, the most pious, the most Allah-fearing. Allah is giving him the title in the Quran Majeed. سَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The one who spends his wealth for what? يَتَزَكَّى. For his own purification. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. He is not doing it to repay any person's favor. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّي الْأَعْلَى. He's only spending for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great lesson for us again. That Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "My wealth and my life belongs to you. What good is there in that wealth that cannot benefit humanity? What good is there in that wealth that cannot be spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That wealth that we just use, just to splash, just to waste, just to spend more and more, this holiday and that holiday, this luxury and that luxury, just picking up our standard of lifestyle and not using it for deen, there is no good in that wealth." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam, he had 40,000 silver coins. By the time of the occasion of Hijrat, he was only left with 5,000. 35,000 was spent. Everything was spent for the sake of deen. And it is because of this, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned on one occasion, that every person, I have repaid their favor. Whoever has done any favor to me, I have repaid their favor. There is only one person whose favor I have not repaid. And that is the favor of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. With regards to his favor, يُكَافِئُهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, Allah will repay him on the day of Qiyamah. So this was the early life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, the Meccan life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. Just to recap very quickly, we had explained the great support he was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, certain virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, the first person to accept, to enter Jannah after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest person upon whom the sun has risen and set after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the most beloved from all men to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very first free person to accept Islam, and thereafter his level of acceptance and his level of belief in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately without hesitation, believing in every aspect that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and then the difficulties that he underwent, how he supported Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, financially also how he supported, and the great qualities that Ibn Dakhina had mentioned regarding him. Inshallah, next week we will discuss the hijrat, the great incident of Hijrat, and the important role that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had played in that as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.